When you were plowing with two, did you plow with two mules?
How then?
Did you plow with two mules?
Well, if we're breaking land, we plow with two mules.
Okay. And one mule would walk in the, what did you call the mule that would walk, say, well, the trenches cut by the mule were called.
By the plow, with the plow, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, one of them, depends on how you was plowing, you know.
Well, between the.
They just walked in that furrow, you know.
Did both of them walk, or one walk between the?
One had to walk. Both of them couldn't walk in the furrow, you see.
Yeah, one of them.
Because they was side by side.
Yeah, one of them walked between two furrows, didn't he?
Well.
Or did you? That was when you were using a middle buster, right?
Well, we never did use. My dad never did use middle buster very much. Well, thing he ever used middle buster. We'd plow with just a single plow.
Turning?
Mm-hmm. He always contended the middle buster left too much hard ground in the center. A turning plow would roll up the dirt and some of it roll back in there and leave a little loose dirt in the middle. And you can cultivate, so long as the grass don't eat it up, say truck garden or whatnot, if you can keep that middle cultivated there and keep the grass down on the roads, well, you do a world of good by cultivating that middle, just cultivating the middle. So like they used to do in the harrow afterward, they'd plow out the cotton. They'd run a harrow up and down in the middle ever so often regardless of what that old plowing was doing.
Yes.
And liven up the land. In other words, you know, land sealed. Rain comes, it kind of seals it open. And it forms a crust. And if you don't break that crust, well, it becomes dry and hard. If you break that crust and pulverize the ground, it holds the moisture in 10 times better.
Yeah.
Unless you have something to shade it, you know, like after corn gets up big, one thing or another, they shade the ground. That helps keep it from crusting too much, you see.
Yeah. The horse on the left was called of what? The mule on the left was called of what when you were plowing with a turning plow?
Well, I don't know.
Did you ever hear the lead horse or the nigh horse or something like that?
Well, I've heard them called on the
blind mule.
Off on the off side, that'd be the left side, you know.
Off mule?
Yeah. It's a few times like that, but.
Yes, sir. Well, when you had four, say when you had two teams to a wagon, the team in front was called a.
Well, the lead team.
And then was the.
If you ever press them, once in a while we'd have that, but not very much we didn't ever did have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But back when you had wagons, it was the Baton Rouge was a what? That was a.
As far as wagons concerned, was it from this part of the country, the rare thing you ever went down. I've known Papa Tom or two to haul hogs down there, go down one day and come back the next, leave about midnight with the hogs, you know.
But to get to Baton Rouge it wasn't no short distance, it was a.
It was a two-day trip anyway with a horse or a mule or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, you'd go out when you got back. Horses, mules too. Helped drive cows down there a time or two in my life, but that's the thing of the past now, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you'd say it was a, you know, when you pass somebody on the road, they'd say, what would you say to them, say when you passed a wagon on the road? And if they wanted to know the distance, they'd say the next town they'd ask you.
Well, about all I would put my person with wagon on the road was between here and St. Francisville.
Uh-huh.
Off from here to Jackson, something like that. And we'd meet people. Well, we knew nearly everybody on the road that traveled these our roads, you know.
Yeah, but to get to, back in those days, to get to St. Francisville, it wasn't no short drive. It was a
day long job. We could rush over there and get a load of fertilizer and one thing or another and come back if it wasn't too rough. But